We're going to be starting a new series. It's kind of actually just sort of morphing into a new series because we have been doing things about prayer all since the beginning of the year. But now we're going to be building up towards Resurrection Sunday and then Pentecost. So we wanted to get into things about the Holy Spirit field and particularly the day in the Word that we're going to be doing on March 10th. We're going to be concentrating on speaking in tongues during that time, but we I get the privilege today of just sort of introducing this series, and I'm calling this particular teaching Walking in Power and Authority. So you can open up your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 24. We have power because God has given us of His Spirit. And God is holy and He is Spirit. And He is all-powerful, right? So when he tells us that He gave us of His Spirit, it should immediately make something go on in our minds where we just go, power! You know, just like, there's power in the blood. There's power in His name. There's power because He is powerful. His Spirit is powerful. So when, right before the ascension, Jesus says, verse 49, I will send to you the promise of my Father. But remain in the city Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. Power from on high, you could say the highest power. Just sometimes we just need to change up the verses that we are familiar with and say them in a little bit different way. So they kind of just go, power. We're talking about being clothed with where it's all in all in all in all. It's on the inside. We have everything. We have Holy Spirit power clothed inside. So now go over to Acts 1:8. This is on the day of the ascension also. Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. You will receive what?
Power.
Power. Okay. You will receive power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and also among the Samaritans, even till the ends of the earth. Now, Billy Graham, I was really blessed to hear that sharing today, too, because when I was very young, I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Chicago, too, and it had a really deep impact on my heart at that time. And you know, he was a great witness, but the thing is that because we have Holy Spirit power, God has made all of us witnesses in our own ways. You know, maybe we're not preaching to a stadium of 100 million people, but our lives are the witness because of this really precious gift that God has given to us inside, which He calls power. when I found a definition or a verse, a translation that said, but you will receive energy when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So there's strength by way of the Spirit, but the purpose of having it is so we can be witnesses, so it can do something. It's not just supposed to be, oh, yeah, this is my gift. Oh, great. I'm just going to keep it. It's supposed to do something. So that's a little bit what we're going to look at today. I happened to stumble on a cartoon. Well, it's kind of a movie, I guess, a bunch of videos called Power Rangers. Have you ever seen it? Oh my gosh, it's so funny because they are doing the things that are like with the manifestations. They have these special little whatever they call them, and they go, you know, power zing, and it goes on, and then let's release the power, and then all of a sudden all this stuff happens, and they're changed, right? They get these suits on, and then they do stuff, and they beat all these really ugly, horrible-looking monsters, right? It's so funny. But I was thinking, well, God has made us Power Rangers, you know? And even though it's a really dorky analogy, it's the idea of being clothed with some kind of power that you can activate. You activate it, and stuff happens. Whoa. Okay, flip over to Acts 4. Verse 33, and with great power the apostles witnessed about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was with all of them. Go over to Acts chapter 6. This is talking about Stephen. Now Stephen was full of grace, verse 8. Stephen was full of grace and power, and he did signs and wonders among the people. So you see, it's not supposed to just be something that we let sit around and do nothing. Now, think about, I want to play a little clip, because I was reading in a book about how hydropower is generated. And so I want to play this video about a dam and how it works. It's just about a minute and a half. And then we'll talk about it a little bit. But all the different dams work like this, whether they're small or big.
To generate hydroelectric energy, you need two things: an abundant supply of water and an elevation to drop it from. Building a dam creates trouble. The dam creates a reservoir, which stores water until it's ready to use. Water enters the generating system through a series of giant intake pipes, then travels down a steep pipe called a penstock, creating a massive column of water with a huge amount of force. At the base of the penstock, the water passes through a turbine. The giant blades rotate the drive shaft in the turbine, which is connected to a large generator. This converts the mechanical energy into electricity. The electricity travels along high-voltage wires to transformers, then on to transmission towers, where it connects into the provincial power grid. After passing through the turbine, the water continues through the tail race, where it rejoins the river below. A hydroelectric dam is a remarkably simple, sustainable, and clean way to generate huge amounts of power.
What's so interesting about this is you can make a comparison with how we have spirit. Okay, the water in the lake gets backed up, right, with the dam. So at some point or another, that water has to be released through a gate. And the people who are in charge of the dam have the key to the gate, right? Not just anybody can go there and release the water. It's the one who has charge of it that gets to. So remember that for a minute. Okay. The turbine part, when the water comes down, it's like our mouths or our physical bodies. We are the ones who house the spirit. Our body houses the spirit. So nobody makes me speak in tongues. I have to do it, right? Nobody makes me want to receive revelation from God. I have to want that, right? So that's like the turbine. It starts spinning around. But then what happens is the turbine goes to the generator. So the generator is like the Holy Spirit inside. The generator, or sometimes it's called dynamo, is what makes the power. It converts mechanical energy to electrical energy in this case. Well, we have the spirit inside, right, which is powerful. It's like the generator. It's dunamis power, dynamo, right? That's where we get the word dynamo from, is dunamis. And that's the place where the mechanical energy is converted to spiritual energy. Now, okay, the generator, the spirit, right? That's what God energizes to make things happen. My part is just the little turban thing, where I'm willing. I'm speaking. If God says, give a word of prophecy, then you open your mouth and you do it. But then as soon as you open your mouth, that goes into the generator, and God converts it to spiritual energy. And we can see that in Ephesians 3:20. Lots of times somebody will ask me, you know, well, does a person do a miracle, or is it God who's doing the miracle? And you have to answer with both. Because nothing ever happens, no miracles ever happen unless someone is willing. So they're like the turban. The water has to come down and get released somehow. Our job is to open the gate, let the water through, be willing, but it's God's job to make the spiritual energy. And that's what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able by surpassing power to do even more for us than we would ask or think, according to the power that is performed in us or works in us. And that word works there is energize. The power gets energized in us, and then things that were even more than we could ever ask or think come to pass. Wow, that's pretty exciting. I just think it's just so awesome that we get to do our part, but then God does this amazing stuff. There's another verse, 1 Corinthians 12, which says this same thing. And we're going to talk a little bit more through the next couple weeks about the manifestations, but I just wanted to read verse 6. And this is my translation. It says, and there are distributions of powers, but God is the one who works all in everyone. In the King James, it says what? Right, diversities of operations. Well, that's not really, that makes it seem like there's lots of different ways that you have to manufacture something or operate it. Like what I was saying in this illustration, our job is to open the gate, let the water through, and speak if God tells us to speak, or do be willing to do whatever it is that he says to do. But it's not our job to energize or make the miracle happen or make the healing happen or even the speaking in tongues. God gives us the language, right? You just open your mouth. But the language is there. Did you make up that language? No. Right. So it's supposed to be translated here, diversities of operations. A better way to say it would be effects. There's different differences of effects. But the same God who energizes all in everyone. So he energizes it in each one of us. There's nobody who gets left out and says, oh, well, I'm not going to give that to Trisha. She can't do any miracles. She can speak in tongues, but that's it, right? No, it's all in everyone. But it is God who gets to choose how it happens. And the coolest part, then, is to remember that Ephesians 3:20, it's always above what even you were dreaming about. That's so cool, isn't it? So God energizes all in all. And we have to, like I've been saying, we have to let the water into the dam. Okay, that's what I call authority. If you remember the man at the temple gate, beautiful, go back to Acts chapter 3. When Peter and John healed the man at the temple gate, they said, look on us. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Such as I have, I give to you. What was he giving to him? He was giving spirit, right? But he was willing at that point to say, I have authority to open the gate. I'm going to let the water through. Now God healed the man. And he jumped up and walked. And he says in verse 12, and when Simon saw it, he answered and said to them, men, sons of Israel, why do you wonder at this man? Or why do you look at us as if by our own power or by our own authority we did this so that this man would walk? It wasn't his power. He wasn't the dynamo. He had the dynamo inside, but he used his authority and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So he opened it. He was willing, see? Another example is there's a use in the Old Testament about Joseph, how he was given the rulership over all the land of Egypt, right? He was Pharaoh's right-hand man. So Pharaoh gave him authority. He gave him the permission and the ability to use his name, Pharaoh's name. So if Joseph said, in the name of Pharaoh, you guys make these storehouses, put all this grain in here, and everybody did it. Because he had authority. Same thing like with Esther and Mordecai. When King Artaxerxes gave Mordecai the authority to be the right-hand man, and remember Haman, he was all upset about it because everybody was listening to Mordecai all of a sudden. And after all, he was a Jew. What was that all about? But he had the authority, and it's like a scepter, right? If the king put forth his scepter, then it happened. If Mordecai was given the authority to speak in the name of the king, then whatever he spoke was going to happen. And that's the same way where we not only have the power, but we have the authority. We have the key. We have the permission of, you know, we're like the owner of the dam, okay? And we get to go open the water whenever we want to get it to start working. Isn't that cool? So look at Acts chapter 8. This is kind of a cool record that we'll just see it about the house authority. First, look at verse 19, because Simon the sorcerer, he was so astounded that when Peter had come and laid hands on the believers, they spoke in tongues. And so in verse 19, he says, give me also this authority that on whom I place a hand, he will receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted that same authority because he understood about authority. He understood that in order to accomplish something, you had to be the one in authority. Now go back to, verse 9. And we'll just see how come he wanted to have this. There was a certain man whose name was Simon, and he lived in that city a long time. And he was seducing the nation of the Samaritans with his sorceries, magnifying himself and saying, I am the great one. I am the dynamo. And all of them were praying to him, great and small. And they were saying, this is the mighty power of God. Right? They believed that he had power. And it probably had lots of signs and wonders following him because, you know, it was negative spiritual power, right? And, okay, verse 11, and all of them were persuaded by him because he had astonished them a long time with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip, who was preaching the kingdom of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women, and even Simon believed. That was so funny. Simon himself believed and was baptized and was following Philip. And when he had seen the signs and the great miracles that happened by his hand, He was amazed and marveled. And when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that the nation of the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And that's when they pray for them and they receive the Holy Spirit. But what's really wild is that word miracles there. He had seen the signs and miracles is also the word dunamis. So dunamis is not, that kind of power is not just an inherent power. If the generator is not working, it's inherent power. Because it has the potential to make electricity, right? But when you turn it on and get it to work, then it's kinetic. It affects something. It's effective. It produces something. So that's why dunamis can be translated either like inherent power or miracle or signs, powers, something that is actually happening. Do you understand? So that's really, really cool. Now, Simon had wanted to have this authority. When we put these two together, power and authority, we have to go back to Luke. When Jesus first sends the apostles out, he gives them both power and authority. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 1, Jesus called his 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal sicknesses. Okay, what does King James say there? Okay, so power, you have to have the power, right? But then you also have to have the authority. The key, the way to say, yes, I can use the name of Jesus Christ and things are going to happen when I use it. I think in the other Gospels it only says he gave them power. And this particular Gospel, it puts it together and said that you have to have both. You have to have power and you have to have authority. It's not enough to just know that there's a generator at the dam unless you have a key to get the water through there. And I think that's the thing that I wanted to bring out today was that so many times we're sitting around waiting for a miracle to happen. But God said we already have the power. We already have the authority. Now go use it. Go do something with it. Don't let it just sit around and do nothing. If Simon the sorcerer could believe and say, I want that power. So like say, I want that power. I want to see more signs, miracles, and wonders in my life because of believing this. And one of the things about speaking in tongues is that it primes the generator, you know. It like convinces you where you say, okay, if I can open my mouth and this language comes out that I have nothing to do with, then the same way, I can open my mouth and there's a word of prophecy, or I can open my mouth and lay hands on someone and there's the revelation that I need to heal them. So again, okay, am I healing them? Say yes. Is God energizing it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We have to be clear about what our part is, okay? Because we don't make that miracle happen. God energizes it. But we are the ones who say, I'm willing. Yes, I'll pray for you. Yes, I'll be willing to listen, you know, to that still small voice, right? So we have power and we have authority. So let's go out and be Power Rangers this week, huh? Okay? God bless.